A new study says New Zealand's approach to tackling COVID-19 saved thousands of lives. The paper delves deep into vaccination rates and modelling during the Omicron outbreak. As Leighton Hagel reports, the analysis provides lessons for the future.
There were scenes that shocked the world. And peak pandemic COVID-19 was almost everywhere, like here in Brazil, where COVID killed millions. Similar statistics in the US, one white flag in this field represented one life lost. But here, it was a different story as the country closed down to control the contagion.
New Zealand's pandemic response was one of the best in the world. There's no doubt about that, and we've had one of the lowest pandemic mortality rates of any country.
And that's mostly thanks to vaccinations. A group of researchers has studied how many lives were saved by the jab in the 18 months from January 2022 when the Omicron outbreak occurred. By modelling scenarios with different levels of vaccine coverage, researchers estimate that vaccines saved up to 12,000 lives. It also prevented up to 56,000 hospitalisations.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise that she was going to be swearing like that. Let's hope she doesn't do any more swearing. It's 7:02.
Evil joke.
But the research also looked into what needs to be improved for future vaccine rollout.
I guess you've got to say this is why we don't trust the media anymore.
It found if Māori vaccination rates matched those of Pākehā, of the 292 Māori COVID deaths, up to 75 of them could have been saved.
Probably the biggest area where there is room for improvement is in that equity, and in particular, you know, ensuring equitable vaccination rates in different groups is a clear area where we need to do better.
What worries me is that this, you know, this will go in a drawer, at bottom of a filing drawer, if you like, and will not be pulled out next time we need it.
A Royal Commission of Inquiry is set to look into the country's response to COVID and provide lessons learned.
What I hope is that those lessons will not be forgotten. They need to be there ready for next time.
Although, he's hoping that's not any time soon.
Well, that's some rubbish. That was the rubbish we had to put up from News Hub. And that's why News Hub are going. On the 30th of June, they will be down the toilet, flushed away. Okay, time to wake up now, 7 o'clock.
FM, the wireless weather.
Right, well, we're looking at the marine forecast now. Let's move across to that, and I'll give you the very latest marine forecast. It's 7:03, and let's firstly look at the situation right across the country. The coastal situation is a ridge of high pressure lies over New Zealand. A weakening cold front is slowly moving northwards across the country on Thursday and Friday, and another ridge builds over the South Island behind this front on Friday, extending to the North Island on Saturday, and persisting over the country on Sunday. For the Bay of Plenty, today, variable 5 knots, northerlies 15 knots. That's a bit loud, Digger. Can you just turn that down just a wee bit? Yes, sorry. Volume's wrong. Thank you, mate. And so for the Bay of Islands, variable 5 knots, northerlies 10 knots developing around midday, rising to 15 knots late afternoon and changing to westerlies 10 knots this evening. See slight fine weather with an easterly swell of 0.5 metre, rising to 1 metre. Tomorrow at the Bay of Islands, a westerlies of 10 knots turning to southerlies 10 knots in the morning, occasional rain clearing with an easterly swell of 1 metre. From Bremhead to Cape Colville today, westerlies 10 knots becoming northwest 10 knots, but 15 knots about Colville Channel this afternoon. Seas will be slight, partly cloudy, the odd shower, a northeast swell of 0.5 metre. Tomorrow, westerlies of 10 knots turning to southerly 15 knots in the morning, occasional rain clearing, northeast swell of 0.5 metre. For the Hariki Gulf, variable 5 knots, westerlies 10 knots developing this morning, turning to northwest 10 knots, then 15 knots north of Whangaparoa in the afternoon. Sea slight with cloudy periods and the odd evening shower. Tomorrow, you've got westerlies of 10 knots turning to southerly 15 knots in the morning, occasional rain clearing, a northeast swell of 0.5 metre. For Waitemata Harbour, if you have a variable 5 knots, westerlies of 10 knots developing this morning, turning to northwest 10 knots for a time this afternoon, seas will be slight and partly cloudy. You'll also have the odd evening shower. Tomorrow, westerlies of 10 knots on Waitemata Harbour, turning to southerly 10 knots in the morning with rain, but it will clear. For the Manukau Harbour, variable 5 knots, westerlies 10 knots today, developing, that's this morning, seas slight partly cloudy, the odd evening shower, a southeasterly swell of 1 metre, easing to half a metre for a time. Tomorrow on the Manukau Harbour, westerlies of 10 knots, turning southerly 10 knots in the morning. Rain clearing, the southwest swell of 1 metre, rising to 2 metres though. For Coromandel, variable 5 knots, a northwesters then of 10 knots developing in the morning, rising to 15 knots. That's for a time in the afternoon. Turning to westerlies, 10 knots, that's this evening. See slight fine weather, evening cloud and the odd evening shower. Easterly swell of half a metre. Tomorrow on at Coromandel, a westerlies of 10 knots changing to easterlies, 15 knots in the evening. It's going to chop up a bit. Showers clearing, an easterly swell of rising to 1 metre. For the Bay of Plenty, variable 5 knots, northwesterlies of 10 knots developing around midday, rising to 15 knots for a time this afternoon. Turning to westerly, 10 knots this evening. Sea slight fine, evening cloud, a southeast swell of half a metre. Tomorrow, Friday, northwest winds of 10 knots, turning to southwest 10 knots in the morning. That's tomorrow. Turning to southeast 15 knots in the afternoon with showers clearing, a northeast swell of half a metre. For the freshwater lakes, Lake Taupo, you've got variable 5 knots, westerlies of 10 knots developing for a time in the afternoon and evening today. And you've got waves less than half a metre, mostly cloudy with isolated showers, poor visibility and rain from the afternoon. Variable 5 knots tomorrow, becoming southeast 10 knots in the morning, rising to 15 knots for a time in the afternoon. Waves will be rising to half a metre for a time. There will be poor visibility in showers, becoming isolated in the morning. For Rotorua, variable 5 knots today, with westerlies of 10 knots developing for a time in the afternoon and evening. Waves less than half a metre, cloud lowering and fair visibility and rain developing later in the day. Tomorrow on Lake Rotorua, variable 5 knots, turning to southeast 10 knots in the morning. Waves less than half a metre, poor visibility and showers, clearing in the morning. For Hawke's Bay, back to the salt water, northwesters of 10 knots, easing to variable 5 knots for a time in the afternoon and evening. Seas will be slight with very fine weather. Evening cloud though, easterly swell of 1 metre and a southerly swell of half a metre east of Cape Kidnappers and Mohaka. Tomorrow at Hawke's Bay, southwesters of 10 knots, changing to southerly 15 knots in the morning. Occasional rain clearing, a southerly swell of half a metre east of Cape Kidnappers and Mohaka, rising to 1.5 metres later in the day, and easterly swell of 1 metre. For Kapiti, today northwesters 15 knots, turning to northerly 15 knots in the morning. Today, rising to northwesters 20 knots northwester for a time this afternoon, and then easing to 10 knots early evening, changing southeast 10 knots late evening. Seas becoming moderate for a time this afternoon, a fair visibility in morning showers, and then poor visibility in rain for a time from the afternoon. A southwest swell of half a metre, you can expect, that will be developing, and a northwest swell of 1.5 metres developing and then easing to 1 metre. Tomorrow at Kapiti, variable 5 knots, becoming southeast 10 knots in the afternoon. Cloud clearing with a northwest swell of 1 metre, easing to half a metre. A southwest swell of half a metre. For Mana, a strong wind warning advisory is in force with northerlies today of 20 knots, rising to northwest 25 knots and gusting 35 knots this afternoon, changing to southerlies 15 knots this evening. Seas becoming rough for a time this afternoon, cloudy weather, poor visibility and rain for a time from afternoon, northwesterly swell of half a metre developing and a southwest swell of half a metre also developing. Tomorrow at Mana, a southeasterlies of 10 knots, cloud clearing, a northeast swell of half a metre dying out, a southwest swell of half a metre. In Wellington, there's a strong wind warning advisory with northerlies of 25 knots, gusting to 35 knots, easing to northwest 15 knots this afternoon and changing to southerly 15 knots this evening. Seas rough, easing this evening. Fair visibility in morning showers and then poor visibility in rain for a time from the afternoon. For the south coast and Palliser Bay, a southerly swell of half a metre. For Castle Point, an easterly swell of 1 metre, a southeast swell, a rather southerly swell also, of half a metre. Tomorrow in Wellington, a southeasters of 10 knots, fine weather, becoming cloudy for the south coast and Palliser Bay, a southerly swell of half a metre, rising to 1 metre. For Castle Point, easterly swell of 1 metre. A southerly swell of 0.5 metre, also rising to 1 metre. And finally, for Christchurch, variable today with 5 knots. It's going to be northeasters of 15 knots developing early morning, changing to southwest 15 knots late morning, turning to northeast 15 knots this afternoon, and then easing to 10 knots early evening. Becoming variable 5 knots late evening, seas slight with morning cloud, fair visibility in periods of rain, light rain, and from late morning today, and an easterly swell of 0.5 metre. Tomorrow at Christchurch, variable 5 knots, partly cloudy, with an easterly swell of 0.5 metre. Well, here's a good old song from ABBA. It's 7:10. I hope your morning's going well. Thanks for joining me here at The World Gone Mad with Grant Edwards. ABBA and Knowing Me, Knowing You. Oh, good old song there from the 1970s. And you heard it here at the World Gone Mad on the wireless here at 88.1 FM, Wellington, Hawke's Bay and Northam. Now, Well, who have we got coming up? We've got Senator Malcolm Roberts coming up this hour. We'll hear from him. We will hear from we'll hear from Douglas Murray. We've also got some reports from not only GB News but also Sky News. Hopefully I can squeeze all those in. Some of them are the exclusive Royal Mail has been baffled as stamps deemed counterfeit. They're actually purchased properly, though, or authentically purchased, and they've been deemed as counterfeit. And Gates, Trump, strong on the Christian traditions, and Mike Huckabee, young people struggling in Biden's America. Incredibly frustrating, a Sky News host questions why Israel, why they what? Why, oh, I don't know. I should have put a bit more to that because now I've forgotten what it was about. I looked at these very early this morning when I got up. At 4 o'clock today, I'm getting better, but I couldn't get to sleep last night. I thought I'll go to bed early, so I jumped in bed at 9 o'clock, and then what did I do? I started listening to podcasts, didn't I? That was my mistake. And then the next thing you know, because I was all set to start at 5, I had to climb down out of my bunk, because I'm in a bunk, and I had to climb out of the sack and go and change it to 6 o'clock because I thought there's no way I'm going to be able to get up at... But I did. I woke up at 4 o'clock and I could have started at 5, but I thought I'd just, you know, do a few other things. Gosh, I hope we're actually going out on... we are. Yeah, we're going out on... I use this thing called Rocket Broadcaster. That's what I use for... Gosh, I thought for a minute there all we had was just a few people on Rumble. But no, we're okay. So we'll also hear from... I've got a news story that's just come through from the Epoch Times as well. What on earth is going on over in Indiana? Apparently a statewide emergency has been declared in Indiana ahead of the solar eclipse, which happens on the 8th of April. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb, he's issued an emergency declaration as a precaution. First of all, I thought this was an April Fool's event. It just sounds so ridiculous. But I had a bit of a skitter around, and I think it's actually true. This happens on the 8th, as I said. And so we've got this total eclipse happening on the April 18th. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb, he issued a statewide emergency due to a large influx of visitors to the state to view the total solar eclipse on April 8th. The Republican official said that a number of visitors to Indiana may strain the state's communications, transportation and emergency response systems, warranting the need for the declaration. Indiana includes some of the best locations in the United States to see the eclipse, according to a map of the path of totality. He says here, the massive number of people viewing this event in our state may well stress and or interfere with the first responders and public safety communications and emergency response systems, such that a technological or other emergency may occur. That's Mr. Holcomb. He said in a statement last week, adding that the declaration was issued as a precaution to bring an emergency, bring in emergency resources from other states. His order noted that the eclipse will pass directly over the state of Indiana, giving everyone in our state an incredible view of this extremely rare event. I mean, maybe it's just a media beat up to get people there. I don't know. The order stated that the last time a solar eclipse passed over the state was in 1869. Oh, geez, quite an event then, isn't it? After the event on April 8th, the next one is not expected to occur for about another 75 years. He said it is of primary importance that the state of Indiana, they are to be prepared to protect the health, safety and welfare of the public during this event and to be prepared to swiftly and effectively respond to any emergency that may arise. That was what they said. The state capital and the largest city, Indianapolis, is located in the eclipse's path of totality, according to local media reports. And, here we are, just a bit down the side here. Officials in other US states have issued advisories or warnings ahead of the astronomical event. Is this April Fool's joke? It's come late. I can't believe this, but maybe it is. So we've got to these other places, these warnings ahead of the astronomical event. The authorities in Ohio's Summit County, for example, they advise residents to stay at home due to traffic congestion by an expected influx of viewers, while officials from the Illinois Department of Transportation, they warned that crowd sizes could be massive in some areas, Crowds of 100,000 to 200,000 are expected to come to the prime viewing areas in southern Illinois, the Illinois agency said. All roads in and out of the area are expected to be heavy and heavily congested in the couple of hours after the eclipse. In Texas, emergencies, a couple of counties in Texas declared emergencies due to the upcoming April 8th total solar eclipse due to the potential heavy traffic and gridlock. On Monday, the Bosque County Office of Emergency Management, they declared a state of emergency due to heavy traffic and other authorized the county to take any actions necessary to promote life, safety and critical infrastructure protection. And the population of Bosque County is expected to significantly increase because tens of thousands of visitors may travel to the area to view the eclipse, possibly straining local resources and fuel supplies, according to the officials. Traffic congestion is expected to be triggering the emergency declaration because extraordinary measures must be taken to ensure protection of public health, safety and welfare of Bosque County residents and visitors. Last week, Kaufman County Judge Jackie Allen, issued a disaster declaration due to the projected numbers of visitors in the area. County officials have said that some 200,000 people may visit the county to view the eclipse. The dramatic increase in population, even for a short time, will greatly impact our public safety agencies, taxing their ability to respond to calls, the county official said. In Travis County, which includes the capital of Austin, they issued a similar declaration last month due to the anticipated crowd size. According to Judge Andy Brown, he said the population of the county could potentially double in the days surrounding the total eclipse. He says it's super exciting to see this once-in-a-lifetime event. What makes it different is that it's a natural phenomenon and we can't control the weather around it. So there's a lot of variables that we just can't control for. According to the Dallas Morning News, the Texas Hill County, or rather country, may be one of the best spots to view the eclipse in the United States. But a significant influx of tourists may cause extreme traffic congestion in our roadways and place enormous strain on first responders and hospital systems, drain our food and fuel supplies, and strain our city and the county infrastructure to quite possibly overcapacity, according to Kerr County Judge Rob Kelly. He said that last month. Even Niagara Falls, meanwhile, the last week a state of emergency was declared in the Canadian Niagara Falls region, adjacent to the city of Niagara Falls in New York State, due to traffic and crowd sizes. This is all for the 8th of April. The city is also in the path of totality, which will receive no solar rays for a few minutes on April 8th as the moon blocks the sun. Niagara Falls Mayor Jim Diodati, he said in March that he expects the most visitors in his city. He expects the most they've ever seen in a single day. In New York, Governor Kathy Hochul, she warned travellers in the state to expect high amounts of traffic and several eclipse viewing events that are being held. She said that lane closures and construction will be halted ahead of the astronomical event. It's going to be astronomical, isn't it? And that's brought to you by Epoch Times, and Jack Phillips is the reporter there. Jack Phillips, he's a breaking news reporter with 15 years experience, who started as a local New York City reporter, having joined the Epoch Times news team in 2009. Jack was born and raised in Modesto, in California, Central Valley. And you can follow him on X on Twitter, Jack Phillips 5. It's got two L's in Phillips. There we are. Now let's move across to Steve Kirsch and his latest newsletter. A new survey confirms that vaccines are by far the number one cause of chronic diseases in America. Nobody should be vaccinated ever, according to Steve Kirsch, especially not during pregnancy. And vaccines are also the number one cause of sexual orientation issues, gender dysphoria, that sort of thing. The numbers are consistent with other published studies, according to Steve. The executive summary: I recently asked my readers to tell me about their chronic health conditions. The single most important conclusion is this: in all 58 conditions, we have about where we had sufficient data to compute an odds ratio, the vaccine always made the condition worse. In other words, the medical community has gotten it backwards for decades. When you combine this with the realisation that vaccines provide a benefit that is too small to measure, as described here for the highly acclaimed COVID and flu vaccines, it's clear that we should be stopping most, if not all, vaccines. In fact, for the COVID vaccines, we have what they call an FOIA. I guess that's an official information sort of data that they've got from the government. What do we call it here? Official Information Act. Showing that the vaccines make things worse, and over a dozen attempts to ask the Santa Clara County of Public Health for comment have been ignored. This is fundamentally why the NIH will never do a study comparing the highly vaccinated to the completely unvaccinated. It would blow the narrative and destroy their credibility. Other important results of the survey include a 3.3 times higher likelihood that you'll have one or more chronic disease. That's 90. That's a one-sided. So he's got all this technical data which I don't understand. So what it basically means is that this was not caused by a random chance. A 7 times higher likelihood that you'll have 5 or more chronic conditions requiring treatment, drugs or therapies. A 4 times higher likelihood of a birth defect if the mother was vaccinated during pregnancy. That's nearly 80% of the birth defects are caused by mother being vaccinated during pregnancy. The actual value is 76.8%. 14.5 times higher likelihood of sexual orientation /gender dysphoria issues in people under the age of 60. This is a stunning result. And this isn't discussed. Basically, 93% of the cases of sexual orientation issues are caused by vaccines. The good news is that we can reduce the chronic diseases in America by 70% with one simple change. Tell people to stop taking the vaccines that are making them sick. That's it. No new medication is needed. Just one policy, change, and it's just got to be communicated through the CDC and here the Tiwata whatever, in New Zealand, Tiwata whatever, and it could literally happen tomorrow and it would cost nothing. It needs to be a full data transparency about all these vaccines so people can see how badly they were fooled. The efficacy data for all vaccines is easy to gather, but we aren't allowed to access the data to do the studies. This article shows how easy it is to expose the fraud. This research can be replicated for every disease if the government made the data available, but they don't. We've got to rely on whistleblowers like Barry Young, don't we? Now, the survey demographics, over 13,000 responses, average age 55. Breakdown of the two comparison groups I used, this is Steve Kirsch, I used in the analysis. A, fully unvaccinated, 2,355 responses, average age 55. B, highly vaccinated, 2,260, average age 49. And 3, 63 conditions tested. 44 conditions had odd ratios, which means vaccines are the single largest cause of that condition. 5, just excuse me a moment. Oh, that's so much better. 14 conditions had OR, or 1.3, this is all technical stuff that I don't understand, which means vaccines are significantly a significant cause of that condition. That's 23% of the cases or more are attributable to vaccination. And finally, 6, the remaining 5 conditions had sufficient data to compute at odds. The ratio, they call it P, calls it p-value greater than 0.05. Now, a list of the symptoms and odds ratio table. He's got one there. If you go over to Kirsch, it's K-I-R-S-C-H, Kirsch Substack, no dot between the Kirsch and the Substack. So it's just Kirsch.crub, that's a K, Substack.com, and you'll find the heading there about the new survey. COVID vaccine injury, odd ratio 25.78, febrile seizures 10.8, epilepsy seizures 7.09, sexual orientation issues 6. This is the odds ratio, so I don't think that's not percentages. ADHD, all of the stuff there, Crohn's disease, asthma, all the stuff, sinuses, all these things, speech disorders, depression, bleeding on the brain, learning disabilities, intellectual disabilities. That's my problem. That's why I can't read properly. I'm vaccinated as I was a kid. Alzheimer's disease, sleeping disorders, eczema, chronic fatigue syndrome. All these things, Kirsch believes, through his research, are caused by childhood vaccines. And so really, we want to leave them alone, don't we? Wouldn't you think? I'd say, leave them alone. Don't touch them. Hey, has anybody heard, we'll just move away from that for a moment. It's half past seven. Has anybody heard of the Deagle Report? They've got a new report out, and it's the 2025 depopulation nightmare. Is it unfolding? Deagle's population pre-nominations for 2025 have been revised. Now, that was sort of, I think it's part of the military, Deagle, D-E-A-G-E-L. I was first put onto it in about 2020 by a bit of a guy who's a bit of a secret squirrel in New Zealand here. He put me onto that. It was quite interesting. In October 2020, Swiss lawyer Michael Lusk, he wrote an article on his LinkedIn page, a page urging that in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, Deagle's 2025 forecast be given serious attention. Lusk's article focused on the economic well-being of people, comparing citizens of NATO and non-NATO countries. Based on Deagle's forecast of 2025, Lusk wrote, in Deagle's image of 2025, Russia flowers while Europe is ruined. Deagle signals that Great Britain is to be ruined most comprehensively. Deagle.com's infamous 2025 population forecast was removed from their website in April 2021. But the content was reproduced by Noble Art for reference purposes. In September 2021, the article Metallic Man, who described the Deagle Corporation as a minor branch of the US military intelligence, explored what the population reduction in 2025 Deagle forecast could mean in terms of what we were witnessing at the time. He said there are all sorts of people slicing and dicing these figures, he wrote. And then, there was a bit of a cough there. Blimey, Charlie. All right, we're back. We're back on the air. anyway, this is what he wrote. And meanwhile, Metallic Man, he didn't agree with these theories. He conceded, nevertheless, that they do point out something interesting, that there is a direct correlation between the nations that are giving the mRNA vaccines and those that do not. You can read more about that at UN predicts sharp decline in working age population for Japan and Europe beginning 2025. While the forecast population reduction raises many questions, Lusk's analysis adds another perspective considering what we are witnessing, that we're witnessing 2.5 years later with the splitting of the world into two, NATO and BRICS. Below in Lusk's article, I'm getting this from Seymour Rocks, Substack.com too, by the way. Michael Lusk originally published on LinkedIn on October 13th. So I won't go into this pretty long one, but it's very interesting how all these countries, they expect them to be, you know, to depopulate. And so it's probably that vaccine, eh? It's probably that COVID-19 thing. Getting in there and just killing people off slowly, you know, all the unrelated symptoms, you know, people think the doctors are saying, oh, it's unrelated. This 12-year-old's got myocarditis. Died. Could it be the COVID-19 vaccine? Oh, it's so sad, isn't it? We're just so, I come across people every day, they're just still in denial that the bloody government has actually tried to kill us. I don't think they did it on purpose. Not New Zealand government, anyway. I don't believe that they are evil people. I think they are just following orders from overseas. I actually just think it's simple. It just comes down to greed. I just think the pharmaceutical companies have so much control and power they are convincing, they're trying to convince us that we need them. They want us to be sort of barely functioning invalids so that we're fully reliant on the pharmaceutical industry all of our life. When we don't need them, all we need to do is just change our diet, eat more protein, cut out carbohydrates, more protein, more animal fat, more organ meat, more red meat, more tuna, more milk, more cheese, more butter, all the good things, and cut out animal chaff feed, like your breakfast cereal, which is full of carbohydrates now. Even Weet-Bix, they put sugar in it. They didn't used to. Corn flakes, be the worst thing you could eat. You might as well just go and eat some grain. Get some wheat and soak it for a few days and then boil it up. Boil it up in the morning. It tastes delicious. I mean, carbohydrates, they are tasty, aren't they? But they're deadly. Really, protein is the race fuel. It's like number one racing oil and racing fuel for the human body. So we need good, clean water to drink. We need plenty of sunshine to get the vitamin D. Makes us help. That's why I'm so happy all the time. I am. I'm pretty happy. And exercise as well. Very important to have some exercise. But lots of protein. We need a lot more protein and a lot more fat. All the things they're telling us cause heart attack, it's all bullshit. It's not true. And why would it not be true? Well, I think there's a... Jesus called this this thing that's happening in the world. He said it's called the mystery of iniquity. He said it doth already work. And I think it just permeates humanity. Or these people that are known as the children of darkness, children of disobedience. They don't realize they are. They don't have Jesus Christ as their saviour. And they're just walking in darkness. And the whole paradigm of health and, the majority turn out usually to be wrong, don't they? When the media tell you something now, I just basically say, well, if the media are pushing it, it's got to be wrong. And you know what? Usually it is. That my gut feeling now, we just doubt everything they tell us, don't we? Can't believe a word of it. So I just got to follow your gut. And I think I'm quite grateful in a way that COVID, the pandemic, happened. I don't believe in viruses at all. I don't think they exist. I think they're just invented by the pharmaceutical industry to cover up their malpractice because they don't know what's going on. They've got a wrong paradigm. I think they probably do, actually. The top people in the pharmaceutical companies probably realise that the correct paradigm for health is the body's terrain. Keep that healthy and you're going to be healthy. But they don't want us to be healthy because there's money to be made in feeding us drugs. There's money to be made in the germ theory, not Beecham's theory of cellular theory or terrain theory. That's the one that was plagiarized by Louis Pasteur. And it's Louis Pasteur's theory of the germ theory that things come from the outside to attack you and we've got to go shoot them down. The problem is when you start giving antibiotics to animals or to people, it kills all the good microbes in there as well. So you've got people there, imagine you've got inside the body, you've got these people that are rubbish collectors. Well, you've also got rubbish everywhere. And the antibiotics, what they do is they get rid of the rubbish, but they also get rid of the people collecting the rubbish. And that's what it's like in your body in any organism, when you fill it with antibiotics. The worst thing you can do, and your teeth start rotting as well. All sorts of terrible things happen to you. I just lost a calf yesterday because my neighbour convinced me to give this animal antibiotics. All it needed was just rehydration. And then it developed something else. And it died. Nothing we could do. The vet couldn't do anything either. And I believe those antibiotics weakened that system. They weakened the terrain inside that poor little calf. And now it's 6 foot down, pushing up daisies. And that's what happens when you fill your body full of... I would just say, look, just wake up. You don't need vaccines. God didn't make you to be jabbed. I mean, the whole idea of the... I think, what is it now? I mean, it's pretty... To me, it's interesting that the hypodermic needle, the guy that invented that, got the idea from a snake, from the forked tongue with the... It's got a hollow in the middle where he squirts the venom into you. That's where the whole idea came from. I just think the whole thing's sorcery. And, you know, the Bible says that the Greek word for pharma, where we get the word pharmacy from, or pharmacist, is pharmakia, and when that's translated in the King James Bible, it translates as sorcery. And you know, the older I get, the more I realise that the pharmaceutical industry is sorcery, and you really don't want to have a bar of it. Now, I've been a bit redundant when it comes to what's going on in the news, so when I come back, we'll have a look and see if there's any new news around the country. I'll be right back. It's 20 minutes away from 8.
Say that you have said it many times when you were president of the United States, that no president is ever going to desert Israel, right?
Correct. I put it more bluntly. I said, as I told congressional leaders during the 1973 Yom Kippur War, No American president will let Israel go down the tube.
All right.
Democrat or Republican, it's not an issue.
That is stated fairly categorically, and yet in your book you make it clear at the same time that Israel really is not of any enormous strategic value to the United States anymore.
That's correct.
So why then would the United States continue to burden itself with huge loans, in some cases outright grants, to the Israelis, jeopardize possibly young American fighting men, when there is no strategic value involved, or little strategic
value? Because the United States is concerned by more than strategic values. That's maybe a weakness, but it's the way we are. And there are moral issues involved here. We don't have an alliance with Israel, as you know. They're not an ally of the United States in a technical sense. But we have a bond to Israel that's much stronger. It's a moral commitment. A moral commitment because of what happened during the Holocaust, and a moral commitment because it is a democracy, the only democracy in that area. And under the circumstances, that is why American presidents and the American people in the future will support all out the survival of Israel if it's attacked.
On my first trip to the Holy Land, I took a water bottle and I filled it up with Dead Sea. You can see it right here. 33% salinity. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1 says, the new earth will have no more sea. Why is that? Well, we're going to have fresh water, Revelation 22:1, but no more salt water. So I looked up. There's a number of reasons. Let me give you one. The Harvard University School of Public Health, the Chan School of Public Health, says this. Salt is a food preservative, and it tells us here, as I'm looking, that the bacteria cannot thrive in the human body if you have a high amount of salt there. As a matter of fact, even a small amount of sodium, it conducts nerve impulses, helps relax the muscles, maintains balance between water and minerals. In other words, salt is necessary on this earth to keep you functioning, but you're going to have an immortal body, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 53 through 57. God has blessed you with immortality, incorruptibility, no more need for outside sources of health. A wonderful blessing.
Isn't that amazing? It's 17 minutes away from 8 o'clock. We've got Voltaire coming up. We've got Senator Malcolm Roberts from Australia. He's in there as well. But before we do, let's go across to One News. We'll try and look at them all, Otago Daily Times. We'll look at One News. We'll have a look at News Hub and also Radio New Zealand. And then if I've got time, we'll look at AP News, International News, and also abc.net.au as well. But right now we are at One News. And the one-punch killer, Kieran Loveridge, is due to be released from prison. The man whose unprovoked attack killed a teenager and triggered a years-long lockout, what they call lockout laws in Sydney, could be released. One dead after a South Waikato crash. The police called to the scene on Somerville Road near Okor. Looks like an I, is it? Oh, it's very hard to actually. Really bad type on this one. It looks like Okorori, yeah, Road or somewhere like that. At 10 to 7 last night. And home insurance premiums, they rise very significantly while insurance is still widely available. Some home insurers appear to have withdrawn online quotes for entire regions. Good grief. World's oldest man dies 2 months short of 115. His name is Juan Vicente Perez. He passed away yesterday at the age of 114. He was just about to have his 115th birthday. According to the Guinness Book of Records, I was reading somewhere where some woman reckoned she was 300 years old. Taiwan earthquake. Oh, yes, that's right. I should have mentioned that this morning. They had a massive earthquake. It was 7.7 on the magnitude scale. They don't say Richter scale anymore. It's the magnitude scale. Last night, I think there were 7 people killed and 711 people had been injured. Taiwan's earthquake death toll rises to 9 now. Dozens are stranded. The quake injured more than 1,000 people and sent some residents scrambling out of the windows of damaged buildings. I might have a look at that in a bit more detail in just a moment. Winston Peters, he meets with the Ukraine foreign minister at NATO summit. While keen to stress that he won't speculate, Peters said it's logical to think China is watching Russia and how the world has... hang on, it doesn't tell me. I've got to go in and finish. How the world has what? Be watching NATO? Oh, no, it doesn't say. Oh, I better read it now. I'm there now. So New Zealand's told... here we go. So Foreign Minister Winston Peters met with the Ukrainians. We got that. Since Russia's invasion in February 2022, New Zealand has committed more than $100 million in financial assistance and has trained thousands of Ukrainian troops. Yeah, we actually sent our soldiers over to Great Britain to train them. Peters wouldn't say how the government would continue to help Ukraine. Why not? Why don't you be transparent? But he told One News that despite New Zealand being geographically far away, the outcome of the war has an effect. He said if Russia wins this war in the way they've begun it, it won't stop there. Oh, rubbish. He's just parroting other nonsense. Russia has no intention. It doesn't have designs on Europe. It's got all the resources that it needs. It just wants to get on and start trading again. That's what Russia wants. They don't want a war. They're there because NATO encroached on an area that they that Russia had been warning them for years. And you know this, Peters. You know this. You're not a stupid man, are you? You've been in politics a long time, but you're just parroting the global bullshit. That's what you're doing. The situation in Ukraine, he says, was also important as NATO continued to carefully monitor China and its influence in the Indo-Pacific region. While keen to stress that he wouldn't speculate, Peter said it was logical to think China was watching Russia and how the world has responded to the war. However, NATO Secretary General Stoltenberg, he went one step further. The more successful Vladimir Putin is in Ukraine, the more likely that we can see something similar happening in the South China Sea. Ukraine has been a major talking point of the NATO foreign ministers meeting, with the 32 countries agreeing to work towards an alliance between a greater role in coordinating, rather, and having a greater role in coordinating aid. There were fears a second Donald Trump presidency would bring about winds of political change, and the possible $100 billion five-year military aid package would aim to Trump-proof Western support for Ukraine. So that's they want to get that in before Trump gets in, because he what he'll do is you're just going to have meetings with them all and then he'll end the war. Because he knows what these buggers are up to. That's why they hate Trump. I don't know, love him or, you know, hate him. I mean, Trump, there was no wars with Trump. The details were expected to be discussed in coming weeks, according to Peters, with final confirmation set for the main NATO summit in Washington in July, where New Zealand has also been invited. There we are. Now we've got other stories here at One News, and trains on key stretch of Auckland network cancelled ahead of rush hour this morning. Auckland Transport said some services were cancelled until further notice. I wonder if they say why. Also, we've got a lotto winner as well. I think we have. Yes, the Auckland Transport announced a disruption in the travel alert on its app at about 5:40 a.m. this morning. Due to Kiwi Rail track infrastructure issue near Britomart, all Western Line services have been cancelled between Britomart and Newmarket until further notice. That's suspicious. The alert read, scheduled buses are accepting rail tickets and AT, that's Auckland Transport, hop cards on the Western Line. A status update of the Auckland Transport website also confirmed the issue. Trains into the city on the Western Line were terminating at Market Newmarket, the status report said, adding customers could transfer to the Southern Line between, that's the Southern Line services, between Newmarket and Britomart. It has been a troubled start to the year with frequent disruptions to the Auckland railway network. Other story, a Lotto First Division player wins $1 million, Powerball rolls over. The Powerball jackpot will be a whopping $23 million on Saturday night. And Olympic champion ready to test himself in the new events in Paris, a new event. Not many Olympic champions can be labelled and apprenticed in their sport, but the Kiwi rower Tom McIntosh, he is. So I'm going to have to click on it because they end it halfway through a sentence, you don't know. The 27-year-old told One News the new discipline has taken some getting used to. What's the new discipline? Medalist on the water. Was it raining in the gulf? Although men's eight. Oh, men's eight. They're rowing, isn't it? not a single skull class, and he'll be competing in this year. 27-year-old told One News that the new discipline has taken some getting used to. He said, going into the single skull, you are a bit alone in that sense, and it's a relatively new event for me. McIntosh took single sculling seriously only after the historic Tokyo triumph, but was quick to make his mark, claiming bronze at last year's World Championship in Belgrade, Serbia. He said, if we were chatting this time last year, I hadn't been in a boat for 5 months or so, and that's a good measure to go off. That's a good measure to go off, McIntosh said. So in that sense, I've had about 6 months more training this time than last year. I definitely feel like I'm in a better position to win. He also has the best crop of single scullers to lean on whenever he wants. As Sydney's gold medalist, Rob Waddell, he keeps in touch. And two online Olympic champions, Mahi Drysdale, is effectively on speed dial. Mahi's been very hands-on and giving me tips, sending me messages and deconstructing my race plan and giving me tips as to where I need to be a bit more aggressive in the race plan. That is rowing. Any other news? Auckland woman, 79, she dies after a fall from a hospital bed. The family of Angelica Bowman is demanding more information about her death. She fell from her bed at the North Shore Hospital, I suppose. So look and see, yeah, hospital. Is it an old people's home? North Shore Hospital in late February, and she died 10 days later. Doctors had told Angelica Bowman's family that she would be home in time for her 80th birthday at the beginning of March. She'd spent a week in hospital after undergoing surgery to remove gallstones, and families say her recovery was going well. But her daughter, also named Angelica, received a distressing call from the hospital the day before she expected her mum to be discharged. She said, I had a call that my mum just fell off the bed. There is nothing else. I talked to the doctor at that moment and said, what happened and how? She raced to the hospital to find her mother on the floor and slumped against the wall. Why didn't they get her back into bed? Angelica said no one explained how her mother had fallen out of bed or exactly what had happened. She said, I only know I left my mother there on the bed, and when I come back, my mother's on the floor in the corner, Angelica said. She said ward staff told her they were going to help her mum. Really? Right at that moment, my mother was in shock and needed, of course, moving from the floor to the bed. They didn't tell me how my mum got onto the floor. She fell off, they said. It was the start of a difficult week for the Bowman family, who say that they were never told about their much-loved mother and grandmother and how she fell on the floor. Tiwanta whatever, Waitemata, that's New Zealand Health, for the uninitiated. Actually, Digger, you picked me up on something, didn't you? I said something before. I said, I said some word and it was the wrong word. It should have been, what should it have been?
You should have said, I've been remiss.
And what did I say?
You said you've been negligent. You haven't been negligent, you've been remiss. You forgot to mention something.
Oh, okay. I said negligent, did I? Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Oh, well, that's just as well I've got you here, mate. 7 minutes away from eight. Now, the day after the fall, the family were told Bowman required surgery for a broken hip and leg.
Oh, gosh.
The family was warned she might not survive. 2 days after surgery, Angelica said the family was told that her mother needed palliative care.
Oh, that's not so good. That's right. Yeah, she's about to die.
She died a week later. Poor woman. Angelique Bowman would have celebrated her 80th birthday. She looks, a photograph of her here over at onenews.co.nz, and she looks just lovely. Doesn't even look 80, didn't look anywhere near it. Angelica said, this is the daughter, she said that she asked one of the doctors what the likely scenario would have been if her mother hadn't fallen from her bed. The doctor said, you want me to be honest? Yes. She can live. She has a chance to live. The grieving daughter said, no. So my mum died from a fall in North Shore Hospital. General Practice New Zealand Chairman, Dr. Brian Betty, said patients fall in hospitals are not uncommon, but potentially very dangerous for the elderly. Those beds are up a bit higher too, aren't they? They're sort of up at hip height, aren't they, our beds, not down like normal beds. It's quite serious, actually. Then, and now, where was I reading? A lot of older people, they give them drugs, sedatives, and that's how they end up falling. That causes them to fall over, and then they get a broken hip, and then they get shocked. No, it's all over. Data released by Tiwata or whatever, Waitemata, for 13 months from February 29th, 2024, revealed 7 falls from beds resulting in major harm. North Shore Hospital has 697 beds, the largest in Waitemata. A total of 82,358 patients presented at North Shore Hospital's emergency department the same period. Angelica believes a faulty safety rail on her mother's bed could be the blame for the fall. She said, see, if this was in America, you'd be sued, wouldn't you? She said that she told the nurse on the ward she was concerned earlier on the same day her mother fell. But I can't believe they just left her on the floor. I told her, look, my mum's bed is not right. That's what she said. The nurse replied, I'm going to be there around, no worries. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be here, she said, around. What does that mean? Okay. The safety of the patient in hospital should be the number one priority, especially for the elderly, according to Betty. Who's Betty? Do we say mention who she was? Don't think we did. Tiwata whatever, Waitemata said it's unable to comment on the matter as being fully investigated by the coroner. And the coroner, they'll say whatever you were there, but the government want them to say. They just, you know, they roll over, don't they? They're too scared. They know that COVID's been killing people. They're too scared to say anything. They don't want to lose their job as a coroner. Because a coroner's not a special doctor or anything like they are in America. Coroners here in New Zealand are just lawyers. A local lawyer probably does the conveyancing on a Friday. You know, sells a few properties and gets the job in the local town or whatever city to be the coroner, which is basically just a lawyer. In a statement, it said that it had a strong focus on fall prevention. Yeah, right. And clear policies on the use of bed rails as they are considered a form of restraint. Restraint? Restraining the patients. All information. Why don't you just make the beds lower? No, they don't do that because they're not there for the patient. They're there for the nurses to make it easier for them. The nurses and the doctors have got to be up higher, much higher. Because they don't want to have to, you know, bend down or kneel down or sit on the corner of the bed or on the side of the bed to talk to the patient. Can't do that. Oh, no. They could have a little chair, couldn't they? They could sit on and go a little up and down lever. Up, down. Or they could just use their muscles and their legs. But no, they have these big high beds. I've always thought the beds in hospitals are dangerous. Bormann family now just want answers. She'd be celebrating an 80th on March the 2nd, a few days ago. It's very sad, isn't it? The Taiwan deathquake. Let's move across to Asia now and have a look at that. The Taiwan deathquake, did I say earthquake? What are they called now? Tembols. Tembors. That's an earthquake. The strongest earthquake in a quarter century rocked Taiwan during the morning rush hour yesterday, killing 9 people, stranding dozens of workers and quarries, workers at quarries, and sending some residents scrambling out of windows of damaged buildings. The quake, which also injured more than 1,000, was centred off the coast of rural mountainous Hualien County. Hualien County, where some buildings needed, they're actually in really severe, they're leaning at severe angles. One of them's like leaning over about 45 degrees, and their ground floors are completely crushed. With just over 150 kilometres away in the capital of Taipei, tiles were falling off the older buildings, and schools were evacuating their students into the sports fields and equipping them with yellow safety helmets. Some children covered themselves with textbooks to guard against the falling objects after the aftershocks continued. Rescuers fanned out in Hualien looking for people who may be trapped and using excavators to stabilise damaged buildings. The number of people missing, trapped or stranded fluctuated frequently as authorities learned of more in trouble and worked to locate or free them. Some 70 workers who were stranded at 2 rock quarries were safe, according to Fire and Energy and Emergency, the fire agency. But the roads to reach them had been damaged by falling rocks. 6 workers were going to be airlifted today. The early hours after the quake, neighbours and rescue workers could be seen on TV lifting residents, including a toddler, through a window and onto the street after doors were fused shut during the shaking. I'm looking at a building here. It's on about a 25-degree angle. The foundation just given away. Taiwan is regularly jolted by earthquakes, and its population is among the best prepared for them, but authorities said they had expected a relatively mild earthquake and accordingly did not send out the app alerts. Eventual temblor was strong enough, that's an earthquake, was strong enough to scare even people who are used to such shakings. One man said, "I've grown accustomed to earthquakes, but today was the first time I was scared to tears by an earthquake." Is this a man or a woman? It could be a woman. Scared to tears. Imagine an earthquake. I've only been in one in here in New Zealand. It went down sort of close to the Wellington. One in, where was it? Nelson, I think it was. A bit scary. You're right. Sen Sun Ken, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, a resident who lives in a fifth floor apartment in Taipei. "I was awakened by the earthquake. I had never felt such intense shaking before. At least 9 people died in the quake, according to Taiwan's National Fire Agency. The local United Daily News reported that three hikers were killed in the rock slides in Tokyo National Park, which is the Hualien. It's in Hualien. And a van driver died at the same area when a boulder hit the vehicle. Tsunami warning was triggered but later lifted. Another 1,011 people were injured. Authorities also initially lost contact with 50 hotel employees in a minibuses in the national park after the quake downed phone networks. 3 of the employees managed to walk to the hotel while the others remained stranded. The quake and aftershocks also caused 24 landslides and damage to roads, bridges and tunnels. The national legislature converted school built before World War II and sections of the main airport in Tuayan, just south of Taipei, also saw minor damage. Hualien Mayor Su Chen Wei said 48 residential buildings were damaged in the city, which shares a name with the county. Su said water and electricity supplies were in the process of being restored. Taiwan's earthquake monitoring agency said the quake was a 7.2 magnitude, while the US Geographical Survey put it at 7.4. It struck 18 kilometres off Hualien on Taiwan's east coast and about 35 kilometres deep. Multiple aftershocks followed. So that is it. And it's gone 8. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I won't give you the marine forecast. I'll just give you the short forecast for New Zealand. Temperatures today across New Zealand sort of ranging from 9 degrees all the way up to sort of 16, 17. We don't have any extremes at the moment. No current extremes. But I do have a short forecast for you. The Northland, Auckland and Coromandel and Bay of Plenty area, cloudy periods today. Isolated morning showers in Northland and Auckland, and then isolated showers throughout this evening. For Waikato to Manawatu, including the central high country, cloudy with isolated showers, rain from afternoon, heavy falls and possible thunderstorms north of Taranaki. For Gisborne and Hawke's Bay, mainly fine today with high cloud, a few spots of rain from afternoon. For Horowhenua, Kapiti Coast, Wellington and Wairarapa, isolated showers, occasional rain from afternoon. In the South Island, Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury, scattered rain or drizzle, clearing from Nelson this afternoon. For Buller and Grays District, rain with possible thunderstorms, easing to showers this morning, becoming isolated this afternoon. For Westland District, Fiordland, Otago and Southland, occasional rain, clearing Westland districts this afternoon, and becoming confined to the coast elsewhere for a time this afternoon. And for the Chathams, you've got a few showers. Well, it's been lovely. I've been here, been feeling nice and relaxed today. I don't know why. What do you think that is, Digger?
I think it's that lovely coffee I've been brewing for you.
You could be right, mate. It could be the lovely coffee. Let's hear from Senator Malcolm Roberts, and then you and I can get out and get onto that building, get the roof on that building we're doing. We're just putting a, second-hand iron on it because we're not ready for the new iron that's coming. And so we'll get the second-hand iron on before the rain starts, and we'll finish off on the deck. We've got a covered deck. We better do that. Put some purlins on. Yeah?
Yep, sounds good. I'm ready.
Okay, we'll do that. Anyway, here is Senator Malcolm Roberts, just a short clip from him. And then it's back to the best of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and the noughties here at, I was going to say classic hits. I was going to say 1251. Takes you back, doesn't it, Digger, eh?
Yeah, it takes me back. Mark Bennett.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
John Eid.
Oh, yeah, John Eid. Who else is there? Who else is there?
I don't know. They were the nice guys. Douglas L. He was the boss, eh? Douglas L.
Yeah, that's right. He was the boss. He was. I wasn't sure about him. He was okay. Anyway, here's that Malcolm Roberts, and that is it. And then we'll yeah. And so tomorrow, all these things that I wanted to play for you today, wanted to bring to you, I won't be able to because I've chat too much. And we certainly had a good old good look at that earthquake in Taipei that happened yesterday morning on the rush hour. 8 o'clock. Here's Senator Malcolm Roberts. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 or possibly 6, and we'll just see how we go. Okay, goodbye. Have a good day.
It's become clear that people in this country and globally have been steamrolled. It is also clear that it has been coordinated globally. It is also clear that it has been integrated, not just over 6 months, not just over 2.5 years, but it has been planned over decades. The changes to legislation in this country were done so that they could control doctors and people. But the people are waking, and it's thanks to people like Dr. Altman and all the presenters here today, thanks to people like Senator Babette and Craig Kelly. We know and we knew that this is all bullshit and that we've been had. But we are going to hound you down, the people that are guilty. We are going to hound you down and hold you accountable. And we will expose your global agenda so that the people of Australia can be free in the future. Because I love my kids, and I'm looking forward to my grandkids. And we are going to save this country.
Across Wellington, Hawke's Bay and Northland, 88.1 FM, The Wireless.